When a Christian is walking in the Spirit, his or her everyday life is marked by visible evidence of the presence of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit that stand in stark contrast with the behavior of many who do not know God. Today, the contrast between the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue our series on what happens when the Spirit has His way. Turn with us to Galatians chapter 5 as Dr. Lutzer speaks on the gift of spiritual fruit.
Incredibly, this is the last in a series of 10 messages on the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit has His way, recapturing the wonder of God within us. I do hope and pray that as a result of this series of messages, that you have a new relationship with a friend who lives within you if you are a believer. The blessed Holy Spirit, Jesus on the cross dying for me, Jesus sending His Spirit to live in me so that it can be said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I hope that you've come to a new sensitivity to the Holy Spirit as we talked about sin that grieves Him. And we talked about the relationship that we should have with Him. And for those of you who have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're not in with Jesus. I hope that as a result of this message and others, that you'll be drawn to Him and you'll understand what you are missing because you do not belong to Jesus. Listen to His voice and respond to it. What a delight it has been to think through the ministry of the Spirit in our lives. Well, today it's the book of Galatians. Galatians is the book, and I want you to turn to that now, if you would please, and it will be chapter 5. If you just happen to have forgotten your Bible, it is page 975 in the seat that is in front of you. Galatians chapter 5. When Paul wrote the book of Galatians, he was speaking to people who, for the most part, understood that salvation was to come through Christ alone. But the problem was they thought that the law also was important because in their mind they thought this, very logically. They thought to themselves that if we teach that a person is forgiven when he receives Christ as Savior and that he belongs to God forever, if you teach that, people are going to go out and they're going to live like the devil, as is frequently said. And so that is going to give them license to sin. So the only alternative, they thought, is either you have the law and you impose the law with all of its restrictions on people, or you'll have license to sin. Those are the two options. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote this wonderful book, said that there's a third possibility. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit of God given to believers to do something more than the law could do, because the law cannot give us any strength. The law has a function. It is primarily to keep people from evil, especially when it has some penalties connected to it. But it can't change our motivation. It cannot change the human heart. That is something that has to be done by God within us, the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says that's your other option. And that's what we're going to talk about. And at the end of this message, I'll give you some practical suggestions from the Word about how to begin walking in the Spirit. I realize that many of you are already walking in the Spirit, but all of us need encouragement along life's way. Now, you'll notice that he begins in, and I will pick it up at verse 16. In verse 13, he says, "You are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." Don't go there. But the answer isn't the imposition of law and legalism. He says it is in the power of the Spirit. So let's consider verse 16. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill or gratify the desires of the flesh. The first thing Paul does is to say that there is inner conflict that he's going to describe. He says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, the desires of the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Wow, we've all experienced that. For a moment, I want you to visualize that this is a boxing ring. In one corner, you have the flesh. And when Paul uses that word here, it is not a reference to the body. The word flesh is used in different contexts. For our purposes, we'll simply say that the flesh refers to human desires without the restraint of the Holy Spirit. This is what it looks like. When I was in Geneva, I saw the statue to Rousseau, the philosopher. If I remember correctly, his view was that society causes all the ills. Everybody should just go back to nature and their own desires. Well, this is what it would look like, as we'll see in a moment. And then on the other side of the ring, you have the Holy Spirit, a glorious intruder who has come to live within us through faith in Jesus Christ. And so the contest begins. The Holy Spirit not only wants to subdue the flesh, as we shall see, he wants to do something more spectacular, wonderful, and miraculous. He wants to actually change our desires and go to that level of transformation so that we no longer desire the things of the flesh. And so these two are in opposition, Paul says. The desires of the flesh and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to one another. You know, when we back off and look at this passage, isn't it encouraging to know that the Apostle Paul knew that there would be conflict? If you're here today and you know of the conflict that I had this week, the conflict that you had last week, the very conflict that you and I are engaged in, we want to do what is right, but the passions of the flesh are so strong that we sometimes give in to them. Paul understood that. In fact, in chapter 7, we won't take time to read it. You remember, he says, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, those are the ones that I do, Paul says. And we've all been there, and we've all done that. And as long as we live, the conflict will continue. It's like one woman said to me, I'm making progress in the Christian life, she said, but every inch is contested, and it is, isn't it? There was a pastor who was baptizing a new convert, and you know how new converts sometimes are so full of joy? They have the same kind of joy that we who are older converts ought to have. And this convert, after being baptized, shouted, I am so full of joy, I will never be tempted again. And the pastor wisely said to him, in order for you to have that blessing, I would have had to keep you under the water a little longer. Yeah, that's right. Someday we'll never be tempted again, but not right now. So that's the conflict. If you're in conflict today, you're normal, you're where all of us are at, join the club. But now the Apostle Paul goes on to show that there are trophies if the flesh wins or if the Spirit wins. These now are the consequences of the conflict. And let's look through the text. Now the works of the flesh, I'm in verse 19, where I hope that you are. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And when I read these, ask yourself if they describe the struggle that you have. This is God's word now. Let us be honest in God's presence. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envying, drunkenness, orgies, And Paul knows that the list is incomplete, so he says, and things like these. That's it, folks. That's going back to nature, unrestrained by God. You look at the list, and the first thing you notice is it is very self-centered. You see, when Satan rebelled, a little bit of his rebellion, his poison, fell on every human heart. And you and I are born self-centered. And if we follow that way, this is what it looks like. Very self-centered. Maybe that's why sexual sin is first in the list. Because perhaps nowhere else, as in other sins, does sexual sin represent the exploitation of other people for my self-gratification. Even if it happens to be mutually agreed self-gratification outside of the bounds of God's word. So there it is. Paul says, the flesh left to itself, sexual immorality. Those are the sensual sins. Then, as someone pointed out, there are also some what we could call superstitious sins. Superstitious sins. You'll notice the Apostle Paul refers to idolatry. And then he says sorcery. Very interestingly, you know, the Greek word sorcery is actually pharmakia. Pharmakia, what does that sound like? Sounds like pharmacy, and that is where we get the word pharmacy. And originally, according to my trusty English, Greek Testament, and dictionary, it really referred to drugs. People, when they went into sorcery, when they went into the occult, even back then, drugs were used to induce trances and what have you to get in touch with the spirit world. So even back there, this was a part of their culture. And the Apostle Paul calls it, he says, sorcery, which includes all kinds of witchcraft and the occult as such. That also is a work of the flesh. And then you have social sins after that. And here we have them. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, things like these, drunkenness. What a description of some homes, of some lives, of some workplaces. All of that is the flesh unrestrained. You'll notice that it is selfish. It is all condemned by God, by the way. You know, I can imagine somebody saying, well, okay, I get fits of temper, but I would never be drunk. Or I cause dissension, but I would never commit immorality. Doesn't matter. Whole tree is cursed. The Apostle Paul says, in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. There's nothing in this that is redeemable by God. He can't use it as it is because it is cursed. Wow. Now you'll notice what the Apostle Paul says. And please take this to heart. I'm in verse 21, the middle of the verse. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God for the simple reason that they don't belong to Jesus Christ. They belong to themselves. They're doing it their way, following the passions of the flesh, without the restraint, the control, or the transformation of the Holy Spirit. And it is an ugly scene. Well, that's one consequence, but thankfully it doesn't stop there. You have an entirely different consequence when the Spirit has His way. And we all desire that, don't we? Letting the Spirit of God have His way. Notice the stark contrast. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And there's no law that prohibits those kinds of things, needless to say. They are generated by God. Do you realize that when you get saved, God does a great miracle? He creates something within us that was not there before. And that is the new nature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And He makes a place in our lives where the Holy Spirit of God, whom we love and whose companionship we crave, the Holy Spirit of God can dwell there within us, and he births within us things that are supernatural, things that are totally contrary to the flesh, things that we do not have in ourselves, the Spirit creates within us. The first thing I notice about this list is, you'll notice it talked about the works of the flesh, which can be manufactured, but then it talks about the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. One fruit, but it comes in clusters. You can't say, well, you know, I have a lot of patience, but I don't have any love. Or I'm a faithful person and gentle, but I have no joy. I have no peace. All of these are reproducing, that's what the Spirit wants to do, the qualities of Jesus in us. You know, a man once asked a sculptor, how do you make an elephant? The sculptor says, actually, it's very easy. You just take a block of marble and you chip away everything that isn't elephant. And pretty soon you have an elephant. The Holy Spirit lives within us to chip away everything that isn't Jesus. And it hurts. It really does. Now, you'll notice that it is the fruit of the Spirit, generated by the Spirit. And not only that, but fruit grows. Works, manufactured, fruit grows. And it expresses the inner nature. I'll never forget the first time I was in Florida. And I actually saw oranges grow on trees. Now, even though I was brought up in the cold snows of Canada, I knew that oranges grew on trees. I'd never seen it. And I was so impressed, even though that was about 45 years ago. It's in my mind as if it was today, driving along and seeing orange trees with oranges. And I made the conclusion that if there are oranges, these were probably orange trees. I'm into it. I can connect the dots, folks. You know, Jesus spoke about this in John 15, didn't he? He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him brings forth fruit. And then he says, somebody who doesn't bring forth fruit, my Father takes away. But those who do, he prunes the vines to bear more fruit. When I studied in Israel in 1968, I actually saw some pruning going on in the vineyards there. And it looked awful. What you had was a sharp knife that was cutting these vines and just cutting them back. And it almost seemed as if the vines were bleeding as they were calling out for help. But it was done purposefully. There was not a single stroke that was unnecessary. Why? So that they might bear more fruit. And that's what God has to do with us, folks. You know, just this past week, actually it was yesterday, I read the story of a young woman sexually abused, terrible story, but it was the story of how she came through that, experienced peace and forgiveness. But is it easy? No, it is very, very hard, but the Holy Spirit of God is there to help us. And I have to tell you, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. His primary knife is suffering. It can be physical suffering. This morning, we as elders prayed for a woman who's a very great saintly woman in this church, but going through a tremendous amount of physical pain. Sometimes it's that, and then sometimes it's other people that God brings into our life. The fruit of the Spirit, God prunes us back. Why? To finally humble us, to finally wean us from sin and all those secret agreements we have made with the flesh, and to get rid of those so that we might be broken and humble, and then there's love, joy, peace. Wow. Now, if the works of the flesh represent selfishness, self, Think of how the works of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, I should say, represents selflessness. Let me ask you something. I do it with a smile on your face, on my face. Maybe there'll be a smile on yours as well. How would you like to be married to somebody who exhibits love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, patience? I think that'd be pretty easy, wouldn't it? That's what God is after. That's what God is after. Have you ever seen a waiter carry, I think it's called a tureen. That is to say, he may have a tray, and on the tray there are several dishes, and they carry it even above their heads in some places. You have no idea what's in those bowls as they walk by until somebody trips the waiter. And then it's very evident what's in the bowls. It all comes out. When somebody trips us, when somebody does us a bad turn, what should come out at that moment is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Well, my friend, when somebody trips us or when we're going through difficulty, if we do exhibit love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all the fruit of the Spirit, that definitely is the fruit of the Spirit, because we certainly don't have that naturally, do we? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope that you continue to walk with Him. Thanks so much for joining us on this journey. We've had a number of messages on the topic of the Holy Spirit. Soon we'll be getting near the end of the series, and at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. I hope that they will be transforming. And also, if you want to connect with us by email, that email address is media@moodychurch.org. Let me give that to you again, media@moodychurch.org.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing a message on the gift of spiritual fruit, the last in a 10-part series on When the Spirit Has His Way, recapturing the wonder of God within us. In a moment, a word about tomorrow's Running to Win.
Well, what would happen if the Holy Spirit had His way among us? I can imagine that what would happen is couples with irreconcilable differences who are headed for divorce would be reconciled if the Spirit had His way.
Erwin Lutzer on the Holy Spirit.
But there is spiritual power available for the most bound sinner, bound by his own chains. There is help and there is hope for deliverance, forgiveness, and restoration when the Spirit has His way.
But there is confusion about the role of the Spirit.
Teaching on the Holy Spirit of God is oftentimes risky, some people believe, because we have in our minds all the extremes. And the fact is that the Holy Spirit of God has been given to the church, and there is a wing of evangelicalism that avoids the Spirit because of these extremes that are doing things that are unbiblical.
Dr. Lutzer's approach.
But what we're going to do in this series of messages, of course, is to concentrate on those issues that the Holy Spirit of God has revealed in His Word that He'd like to do among us, and He is available.
When the Spirit Has His Way, 10 messages on CD that can transform your life. This series will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call right now at 888-218-9337. That's 888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. It's easy to display the Spirit's fruit when all's right with the world. It's much tougher when life takes a hard turn. Often the most radiant believers are the ones who suffer the most. Tomorrow, we take a final look at the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.